Our scripture reading this morning comes from Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 6, verses 1 through 10. Let us now hear the word of the Lord to us. As fellow workers, we appeal to you also not to accept the grace of God in vain. For he says, "At an acceptable time, I listened to you, and in the day of salvation, I helped you." See, now is the acceptable time. See, now is the day of salvation. We put no obstacles in anyone's way to keep our ministry free of blame. But in every way, we commend ourselves as servants of God through great endurance, in hardships, in need, in oppression, in beatings, in imprisonment, in riots, in labors, in lack of sleep and lack of food, by purity, by knowledge, by patience, by kindness, by the Holy Spirit, by genuine love, in the word of truth, in the power of God, with the weapons of righteousness on the right and the left, with honor and dishonor, with bad reputation and good, taken as impostors and yet genuine, taken as unknown yet well known, taken as dying, and see, we are alive, as punished yet not put to death, as sad, yet always rejoicing, as beggars, yet enriching many, as destitute, yet having everything. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of God endures forever. Drop your tools, yelled fire crew foreman Wagner Dodge. David Epstein, in his fascinating book, Range, tells about Montana's devastating 1949 Man Gulch fire. Smoke jumpers, they parachuted in to face what was thought to be a 10 o'clock fire, meaning that the firemen planned to contain the flames of the fire by 10 a.m. the next morning. But Mother Nature had another plan. The fire jumped across the gulch from one forested slope to the steep slope where the firefighters were. And at a pace of 11 feet per second, the roaring flames chased the firemen uphill through dry grass. "Drop your tools," yelled Wagner Dodge. "Forget you're a firefighter. Forget your tools. Become a sprinter." Two men immediately dropped all their tools and they ran for dear life. They made it over the ridge and to safety. But not all followed orders. Some ran with their tools. Others kept their backpacks on. They didn't make it. 13 of them. The tragedy led to major reforms in safety training. See, there's something inside of all of us. It's not just for firemen and smoke jumpers. We just don't want to drop our beloved tools, even if it means our downfall. "Come, follow me," beckons Jesus. And we read in the Gospel according to Mark that at once they dropped their nets and they followed Jesus. What do you need to drop? Psychologist and organizational behaviorist Carl Weick, he writes this: "Dropping one's tools is a proxy for unlearning, for adaptation, for flexibility. It's the very unwillingness of people to drop their tools that turns dramas into tragedies. Now, this happens to us spiritually as well. We find false security in our tools, in our toys, in our safety nets, and we get spiritually weighed down by them, and we get tangled up. Going against orders to drop our tools, we cling to our stuff, thinking that our life, our joy, our salvation are found in those things. And so materialism and anxiety engulf us. We become consumed with our problems, with our past, with our fears, with our lack. Some call it affluenza. You could also call it the consumption. The book of Hebrews gives us some wise counsel for our lives. Throw off everything that weighs us down, says the author of Hebrews, and the sin that clings so closely, and with perseverance, keep running the race ahead of us, keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. Emmanuel, let's drop our tools and run for God. Now, contentment, and more specifically, Christian contentment, it's totally counterintuitive. It's about the willingness and also the wisdom of dropping our tools. You see, fulfillment isn't found in places that we naturally look for it as human beings. It isn't found in stuff. It isn't found in tools. It isn't found in recognition or accolades or your successful job or a comfortable or flawless life. It's not there. The wisdom of contentment teaches us this, that joy, true joy, is independent of our circumstances and our stuff. Our joy is found in God and doing what God has called us to do. See, the key to life satisfaction, it is not a life of self-sufficiency. The key to life satisfaction is found in God's sufficiency. No matter our situation, or no matter our station in life, it is there. You see, when we're God-sufficient, Emmanuel, we're able to tap into a purpose and a strength that is so beyond ourselves. We can drop on the spot what doesn't matter in our lives, and we can courageously do and face whatever is thrown our way unencumbered. Now, it's important when we look at Paul's letter that's our morning passage to realize what Paul isn't saying. Paul is not saying that we should ignore, that we should deny, that we should suppress our sorrow or our suffering in our lives. He's not saying that. Rather, we acknowledge it. We say what it is, what we're experiencing. And then we make the profound decision to let it go and entrust it into God's hands and not our hands. And then, by the grace of God, we find ourselves detached from our attachments. We hold on to what's important. We hold on to Christ. We hold on to one another. And we are free to travel light together. Now, Paul, he had one path. He had one prize in his life, and it remained constant throughout his entire life, through the ups and through the downs that he faced, through the highs, through the lows, in times of prosperity and times of poverty, in times of sickness and health, through the cheers that he experienced and the boos that went his way, through his victory and his defeat, success, failure, smooth sailing, or troubled waters. Paul's path and Paul's purpose was constant, and it was consistent. Be an authentic and faithful follower of Christ no matter what. He cleared out all obstacles in his life. He dropped everything that got in the way of Christ Jesus, his Lord. See, Emmanuel, that's how we pivot in our lives from a life of consumption to a life of contentment. Faith in Christ helps us to know what we need to drop in our life and what we need to hold on to. So, drop your smoke screens. Drop your tools. Let down your guard. But God is rooting for us to grab a hold of the eternal and not let go no matter what the cost. Have a firm grip on purity and understanding, Paul says. Hold tight to patience and kindness in your life and genuine love. Hold on for dear life to the word of truth, to the power of God, to the spiritual armor for the right and for the left. These are the things that you can take with you. And so, with God's unlimited resources and divine strength, we in our humanity, our limitedness, and our weakness, we can become living oxymorons, paradoxically being both sad yet rejoicing, anxious yet at peace, penniless yet enriching others, suffering yet hopeful, dying yet living, having nothing yet possessing all. See, by God's grace and God's power, adversity betters us rather than embitters us. Faith expands us rather than constricting our hearts. Trust transfigures our broken hearts and makes them broken open hearts so that God can pour his loving kindness into our hearts. So, Emmanuel, don't live life with a tight-fisted heart. Stay open, stay receptive. Don't white-knuckle your tools, let them go, and then run free. Now, the word that Paul uses for the mindset in our passage is steadfast endurance. Our translation says great endurance. And the Greek word for it is hupomene. Can you say the word hupomene? Hupomene, okay. Hupomene, it's an amazing word. It isn't some passive resignation in your life that merely just absorbs the blows of life with your hands folded. No, the gift of hupomene, steadfast endurance, is that divine mindset that helps us to be not only resilient, but also to live triumphantly, to live transformationally, where we find ourselves, by the grace of God, strong in the broken places. The early church father, St. John of Chrysostom, he wrote a poem to this hupomene centuries ago, saying this, "Hupomene, it is the root of all goods. It is the mother of piety, the fruit that never withers, a fortress that is never taken, a harbor that knows no storms, and the queen of all virtues, the foundation of right actions, peace in war, calm in tempest, and security in plots." Hupomene. God's hupomene makes it possible for us to pass through the breaking point and not to break. Hupomene, it imparts to us a holy figurativeness of our situation. It gives us a divine stick-to-itiveness to face our challenges. You see, Christ teaches us. He comes alongside us. Come. Follow me. And then he teaches us to drop our tools without dropping the ball. The Spirit helps us to cut out the extraneous and to retain the essential. And by the grace of God, we find a stewardship takes place from consumption to contentment in all of life's seasons and circumstances, in sickness and in health, in joy and in sorrow, in plenty and want. And so, Emmanuel, I agree with Paul. The right time is now. Today is the day of deliverance. Expand your soul. Live wholeheartedly. Run to God's glory. Drop your tools. Amen.